Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Hello everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English podcast. Today is August 29th, 2019. I'm Marcos Gazana and I'm speaking from Porto Alegre in the south of Brazil. This is episode 181 of the Follow English podcast. And today I'm going to be doing another episode about modal verbs. I'm going to be speaking about modal verbs that are used to express obligation and prohibition in English. So I'm going to be speaking about must, have to, their negative forms, must not, don't have to, and also the negative form of can't, can't, to express prohibition. So I'm going to be reading a few examples and then making my own comments as the two previous episodes. If you are interested in having a more general overview of what modal verbs are, I recommend you go back to episode 179, which I talked briefly about modal verbs and their functions in the language. So that's a more introductory episode about modal verbs. Also, episode 180, I talked about modal verbs that are used to express ability in English. So let's get started. Let's talk about the modals that are used to express obligation and prohibition today. So have to is used, people might consider have to not a pure modal because of the to that we have together there. So have plus infinitive, so have to do something different from the meaning of having as possession, obviously. But when you say I have to do something, it means it's necessary to do it, or I'm obliged to do it. So one example here is, let's imagine you're driving and you have one of those road signs with an arrow pointing to your left. So that means you have to turn left. So have to is often used when we talk about rules. So you have to turn left. You can't turn right. So you can't turn right. Here we have the use of can't for prohibition and the use of have to for obligation. So you have to turn left. You can't turn right. You have to wear glasses for reading. This is not a rule, but it means that it's better for you. Otherwise, it's difficult for you to read. So you have to wear glasses for reading. Robert can't come out with us this evening. He has to work late. So he has to work late. That's an obligation for him today. Last week. Tina broke her arm and had to go to hospital. That's the past. When we talk about past obligation, we basically use had to. So we conjugate have to in the past. Also, for questions, when you think about have to, you are supposed to use an auxiliary verb like do, does, or did, or even in the present perfect form, you could use have. Normally, what do I have to do to get a new driver's license? That would be a question in the present. So let me repeat it. What do I have to do, or what do you have to do to get a new driving license or driver's license? So why did you have to leave early yesterday? That's another question in the past. In this case, so why did you have to leave early today? Let's imagine you were at a party, you had a meeting the other day early in the morning, so you left kind of early, and then the person can ask you on the following day, why did you have to leave early? When we talk about the future, we can also use have to indicate obligation in the future. I could say, for instance, they can't fix my computer, so I'll have to buy a new one. Or I'm going to have to buy a new one. So you can use will or going to, or even other modal verbs, might or may have to. This is the reason why some people or some grammarians, let's say, don't consider have to a pure modal. They consider have to a semi-modal or a pseudo-modal, as some people might call them, call it. So, might, Tom might have to work late tomorrow, so there is a possibility. As today, I'm concentrating on obligation, I think, but it's fine to mention that, because then it's possible that there is an obligation in the future, you see. So, Tom might have to work late tomorrow. There is a possibility that in the near future he will have to, so he will have this obligation. Or you could also use may. Tom may have to work late tomorrow. By the way, I'm grabbing the examples from English Grammar in Use, Raymond Murphy. That's a Cambridge University Press book. It's a best selling grammar book. Everybody knows it. So if you're interested, have a look. And there are some exercises here. I'm just using the book to make my life easy in terms of thinking about examples. So let me move on. Let's talk a little bit about must now. Must is, of course, it's very similar to have to. I actually saw a video on YouTube a couple of months ago, and there was this guy from Australia, I can't remember his name now, but he talks about some research on modal verbs, and he says that must is becoming more rare in the language. It's more common. Have to is gaining power, is becoming more common. And must is slowly disappearing, or I don't know if, because this is I don't know if this is really a world movement, but maybe the tendency is not to use must, as must might indicate the authority of the person who is speaking. But still, I don't think that's so big a fact, and I think it's important to know how to use must. So here are some examples. You could say, I must go now, it's getting late, or even, I have to go now, it's getting late. So you have this obligation, and this is a personal obligation. You could also say, for instance, if you want to give your own opinion, you could say, I haven't spoken to Sue for ages, I must phone her, or I have to phone her. It means, of course, it's necessary. In my opinion, it's necessary. Or you can also use to talk about some a recommendation, somebody else. Yeah, you could see, Mark is a really nice person, you must meet him. So it's a recommendation, you have to meet him. Another thing about must that I think it's interesting, it's that must is used in written rules and instructions. For example, answer all the questions, you must write your answers in ink, or like this would be instructions how to complete an exam. Another example here is, applications for the job must be received by the 18th of May. So applications for the job must be received by 18th of May. This indicates an obligation or a rule. Yeah. All right. Finally, moving on to the negatives. When I use must not, that's basically prohibition. So if you say, you must not tell anyone, this is a secret, So you must not tell anyone. You can abbreviate that, and you can also, when you're speaking, you could say mustn't. You mustn't tell anyone. You mustn't tell anyone. So I mustn't be late. I promised I would be on time. So I must be on time, or I mustn't be late. In this case here, it's something necessary, or you must, or the opposite. When you think it's necessary that you should not do it, or so you don't do it, you know, then you use the negative form here. I mustn't be late. When you use the negative for have to, which is basically don't have to, or doesn't have to, or even in the past didn't have to, future will not have to, you are actually not talking about a prohibition, like when you are using mustn't. It's different. They are completely different, actually. Because when you say don't have to, you are talking about lack of obligation and not about prohibition. So if you say, for instance, I don't have to tell Tom what happened, you can tell him yourself. So I don't have to tell Tom, you can tell him yourself. Or I don't have to be at the meeting, so it's my decision. I can go, but I don't have to be there. But I think I'll go anyway. So I don't have to be at the meeting. There is no obligation. So this is lack of obligation and not a prohibition. Yeah. But I think I'll go anyway. So I don't have to be at the meeting, but I think I'll go anyway. There is one more thing that I think it's interesting to mention, but I'm not going to go too deep into it, which is in British English, sometimes I think what users do, they use have got to instead of have to. So then the same differences that we have when we talk about have meaning possession, like I have a house, that maybe in British English would be I've got a house. Yeah. Then when we have the modal verbs or the modal have to, the same phenomenon happens. Then we in a more neutral point of view about the language, maybe we would just say I have to do it, I have to go. And maybe in British English they would say I've got to go, I've got to do it. And this is not, as I can see, of course I'm not a native speaker, but as I can see from my experience, it's not a clear cut. It's not like in British English it's only like this, and in American English it's only like that. Now I think things get a bit mixed up here, and you will see American speakers saying I've got to, you've got to be true, or you've got to go, or something like that. And of course, in terms of pronunciation, lots of things can also happen. You can say, I've got to do it, I've got to be there. Or even you can omit the have, and I got to do it, I got to be there. So this can go on and on. If we go into pronunciation, there are more things to explore here. And I do recommend, if you have the time, maybe I'll do one episode in the future about have to and the different forms of have to. I basically today tried to talk about the more general aspects, as I'm trying to focus on modal verbs. So this is it for today. I would like to remind you before I finish that you can also visit the webpage for this podcast, which is at pod.followenglish.com.br. In this case, if you check out our page, you can add your email to the email list. You will get a notification every time there is a new episode out there. You can also send emails to info@followenglish.com.br. BR for Brazil, so BR. And this is it for today. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. I hope you're all learning something, and I'll see you next time. Bye.